Hi, welcome to Sons of the Double Cheeseburger. I'm Brandon. As always, I'm here with Kevin. Kevin, how are you?
I am good, Brandon. How are you? Hello, everyone.
I'm all right. I haven't broken anything yet today, as far as I know. But as I said, it might be that somewhere else in my house, something is breaking right now. I am intentionally avoiding that so that we can talk and catch up a little bit.
Something other than hearts?
Something other than hearts, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Possibly a plumbing issue that we talked last time about me fixing things, but this would definitely be way, way out of my league. This that would is, be call the landlord.
It's my second least favorite issue.
Electrical. Call the landlord? Oh, no, you don't have a landlord. Plumbing. No. Plumbing, yes.
Electrical is I have even less love for.
Yeah.
Plumbing issues don't burn the house down. But they cause significant damage.
Right.
Electrical issues burn the house down, cause significant damage, and tap into my fear of dying in a house fire.
You don't have any fear of dying in a house flood?
I do not.
All right. Well, then, I think that explains why you would have ranked those that way.
I can swim. I'm not flame retardant, however.
Well, I can swim too, but I worry that if the flooding goes all like it goes up, you'd see like in the movies where like you're trapped in an underwater space, like in a boat that's sinking or something, and the water level is going higher and higher.
Sure.
I'm worried about that being my living room.
Sure. And now you have like entryways and such.
We do.
You don't have to like be lowered into your living room.
No.
It doesn't seal off.
No, but once the water level has risen up, then I wouldn't be able to open the doors because the.
But you should have some time, right?
probably, yeah. I don't think it's dripping that fast. That's a good point.
We watched a movie yesterday. Ironically,
yeah.
We started out watching it just as a joke, and then we kept watching it.
In other words, you started out watching it ironically.
True. Yes. So it was the 2019 or maybe it was 2018 now, Dora the Explorer movie.
Oh, the live action.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did
Andy Serkis play Boots the Monkey in that? I didn't see it.
No. He
did they do like a mocap Andy Serkis?
No, he was. I don't remember what he did, but no, I think it was like Benicio del Toro and Danny Trejo played. The monkey, Boots, the monkey, and Swiper, the fox.
I'm assuming they did the voices of those. They weren't actually like in costume.
Correct. Although, I don't think it would have been any more weird if they were in costume. I just, you know, Benicio del Toro as Boots, Danny Trejo as Swiper. So,
oh my goodness!
But so that movie had one of those scenes where the water is filling up and they're running out of space, and
yeah.
In fact, that movie is essentially all the Indiana Jones movies and other explorer action movies, all kind of recycled into a Dora the Explorer movie.
So you're giving it two thumbs up.
We laughed quite a bit, and I. There were even times where it wasn't because it was bad, but yep. I would not recommend watching it. Like you can do without those moments of mirth.
But moments of mirth are nice.
So we at some point decided, is it stupider to watch this or a Hallmark Christmas movie? We did not have a consensus on that. So.
Probably depends on which Hallmark Christmas movie you watch.
Mm-hmm. Right. My favorite Hallmark Christmas movie is Christmas in Conway that has Andy Garcia in it.
Nice.
A legit actor, right?
Legit actor, yes. Like,
real chops, right? And he indeed, he
elevated... Probably paying off a gambling debt of some kind.
He elevated that film significantly. And it was... one of those actresses from when we were growing up that would kind of be contemporaries of ours that had three names. Mary Louise
Mary Parker. Elizabeth Mastrantonio?
No, Mary Louise Parker.
Mary Louise Parker.
She was his dying wife.
So two, like, notable actors.
And Sherry O'Terry. So two notable actors. And then...
and Sherry O'Terry.
Right.
Who's hilarious.
She can be, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know if she was hilarious in that.
She played a surly neighbor. So... But this wasn't a movie where, like, you know, somebody goes off to a small town, falls in love with their Christmas spirit, realizes that their boyfriend back home, who couldn't come with them because he was too committed to his capitalism, then realizes that he didn't understand the true meaning, and she instead falls in love with a guy who's got, like, a niece or a daughter or somebody that he takes care of. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like that. It was surly guy. Wife dying of cancer, wife dies of cancer.
Wow. That sounds like a tough hang for a Hallmark movie.
There was a gun in this Hallmark movie. Oh, God. Somebody had a gun pointed at them.
Are you sure this wasn't a Lifetime movie?
No, no, this was a Hallmark movie.
Or was it an American Greetings Cards movie? This doesn't sound like actual Hallmark brand. This really sounds off brand.
No, but I mean, that's, I actually found this movie. I mean, here's the thing. I don't
refresh.
You're probably better than I am. That you, well, yes, you don't get sucked into watching Hallmark movies, I'm guessing. Nope. Right? Or do you? Yeah.
No, I don't, but I just stay away from the Hallmark channel.
Right. And that's smart. So, but, you know, then that this came out. This was a few years ago, and I was like, wow, Andy Garcia, yeah. I don't want to watch this. And it was like a real movie. And I was like, wow.
That's
so wild. That's my favorite Hallmark movie.
Nice. I listened to How Did This Get Made talk about the Lifetime movie, A Very Nutty Christmas, starring Melissa Joan Hart as a woman who ends up falling in love with a nutcracker come to life.
Oh, dear God.
And I've resisted the urge to actually watch that movie now.
I'm going to also resist that urge. I'm going to try.
Yeah.
That one doesn't appeal to me as much because it's not like it's a safe. Because the Andy Garcia movie was almost like, okay, we were talking about other actors already here. Like, yeah. If there was a Hallmark movie, if I'm watching the television and say, you know, premiering tomorrow, like, you know, Christmas in wherever, and, you know, starring Danny Trejo and Benicio del Toro. Right. I'd be like, what? I'm watching this Hallmark movie, right?
Right. Yeah, right. But, I mean, yeah, because you want to figure out what brought those two into it, right? Yeah.
So,
and I'm assuming that what brought Danny Trejo into Dora the Explorer was grandchildren, and Benicio del Toro makes such weird choices when he's actually acting.
Right.
That I have no idea what choices he makes when he's deciding what to act in.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of these where I don't remember who it is that does these, but they sit down with an actor and they go through various roles from their career.
Okay.
And I watched one, Danny Trejo was the individual of note. And there were movies he's been in that he didn't remember. And there were plenty of movies where, like, you know what? If someone offers you a job, you take it. Because you don't always get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And if Danny Trejo had no issue with that, I don't see why anyone else should. Right?
Right. Well, and I suspect, I mean, Danny Trejo is... He's obviously a character actor, and so sometimes they don't get the same. There's not the same volume of opportunities, or there's not the paycheck that goes with them,
mm-hmm.
Right? So yeah, I think that absolutely makes sense. Now, a guy like Benicio del Toro feels to me like somebody who should be deciding which projects he wants to do and which ones he doesn't want to do, and I'm sure he does. But it's always, like, wild, the choices
he
makes.
Like, and he did those Heineken commercials a few years ago. Yes.
Well,
But there's only so many roles for somebody like Benicio del Toro, right?
I think so.
I mean, he's not getting any rom-coms. He's not getting a lot of coms. He's not getting, you know, it's...
No.
There's only so many Sicario movies you can make at this point, right?
Right, right.
And,
or put him in outer space movies doing super weird things.
Right.
You know?
So if you get offered money...
It's true.
I often wonder about that. Like, you'll see an actor... I'll recognize an actor in a show or something and say, oh, I recognize that person from somewhere. So I go and I look at their IMDb page and I'm like, this person does like one role a year or less. And sometimes they're just like a cameo or something. I'm like, how does this person get by?
Right. Yeah, I wonder that same thing. Even more than that, I wonder that about like other people in the industry. I mean, I think that's a great question, but I've looked at that same sort of thing for like screenwriters,
mm-hmm.
Or like directors who make a movie every like 5 years. And it's not like their movie, it's not Avatar. I'm not talking about James Cameron.
Right.
You know, making these movies are like, I don't know if that person made enough money from that movie to live on for like a decade. Maybe they did. Maybe,
right.
I don't understand the finances at all. But yeah, that is an interesting kind of thing. So the Dora the Explorer movie on your top movies that you've seen in 2020. Is it near the top of the list?
If the list is upside down, yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Because I ask that sincerely because I realize that I haven't watched many movies this year.
I have not either. So actually, I mean, it's not a long list.
Most of what I've watched this year, I'm not joking, I'm going to sound pretentious, has been Kurosawa movies. I decided I wanted to watch like all the Kurosawa I could get my hands on.
Have you enjoyed that?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of really interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff that, like Rashomon or Seven Samurai, and you're like, yeah, okay, I get it. This is why he's the master, you know? Drunken Angel, Stray Dog. Really good stuff. I'm forgetting one that I loved. Anyway.
Christmas in Tokyo?
Good, yeah, no. The
Hallmark movie.
Kurosawa actually made the first Mario Brothers movie. It was not released in America. So yeah, I haven't watched many movies. And the last one that I saw in the theater was Parasite, which I loved. Did you see Parasite?
No, but I saw that it's now free on Amazon, so...
Oh, and it's also on Hulu.
Or maybe it's Hulu, then. I don't know. I can't. I do realize that I watched a movie this year that I got about halfway through, and I realized I'd already watched it. And I didn't remember when. But now I can't even remember what movie it was.
Wow, it was a good one.
So there's a risk that I'll watch it a third time.
Do you think, is it a movie you watched twice this year already?
No, I don't think it was twice this year.
So it was an older movie that you watched again, and then...
It would have been like within the last couple years.
Okay.
So it's not good. Yeah. I just thought of somebody. We were speaking of like people that make odd choices.
Yes.
Like, I would not be surprised if I saw that, like, Werner Herzog made a Hallmark movie or some other sort of, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like, he seems like the sort of guy that would just make something, he would direct a Fast and the Furious movie or something, and you'd be like, what? But you'd be like, yeah, I guess so, because... Sure, why not, right?
Well, I, you know, he has, it's not a large role, but it's a meaningful role in season one of The Mandalorian. And it's the, have you heard the legendary stuff about how he was the one that really convinced, maybe we talked about that here, that he was the one that convinced them to use the puppet and not to do any CGI?
No.
Yeah, apparently the first time he saw the Baby Yoda puppet, he wept and and told them they had to do puppetry and not CGI.
Right. So I've looked this up. I'm engaging the internet. Apparently he had never seen a Star Wars film prior to acting in The Mandalorian. See,
what is that? That is hilarious.
And he, if you like, he'll occasionally, there'll be something posted like on social media or some article he'll write or something. He is endlessly interesting to listen to or read, to consume, you know, it's, it's really, so I would like to see him direct a Hallmark movie with Benicio Del Toro and Danny Trejo.
I like that. This seems like the Hallmark movie we want to see.
I'm going to write that on Benicio spec.
That's good. I have no contacts in Hollywood to put you in touch with.
There are people that are saying that The Mandalorian is in part so successful because they used puppets instead of CGI.
Oh, I think because I believe
people
that.
Respond better to the puppets than they do to CGI.
Well, I mean that's been talked about a lot, that that practical effects have a tactile quality that that is that even like as good as CGI is at this point, that can really come through. And I think that using an actual puppet to do it helps in the scenes that, and there are a lot of scenes where I think it ends up making a difference.
Oh yeah.
So also, if you want to, other puppetry, shout out, cause we did watch this week. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, the puppetry in there. And then go look for the outtakes from that, which are even better.
Really?
Have you never seen that?
No.
There's
never
like
seen
a,
the outtakes, no.
There's a 6-minute outtake reel just of the scene where the hoodlum gang, the River Bottom Boys, are playing all the instruments in the music store. And Emmett and his ma, who I believe is known as Ma Otter, are outside the music store, and the snare drum rolls out in front of them. It apparently took like dozens of takes to get that right. And there's a highlight reel of the two puppets standing there watching the snare drum roll out incorrectly. And then hearing Frank Oz and the other actor, I don't remember who the other voice actor or puppeteer is, just commenting is great.
I'm gonna look
it's very that. Worth your time. Yeah, that's on my, if I had a list of favorite movies of 2020, the Emmett Otter outtakes would be on it. Which reminds me of the thing I wanted to talk about with you
right.
today.
I've taken this field, but yeah.
Oh no, we've been catching up on. We're coming to the end of 2020, which may or may not mean anything, because January 1st might just be the first day of the 13th month of 2020, for all we know.
Time is a construct.
It is.
It doesn't matter.
But people like to look back on favorite lists of favorite things and. We're not, I thought, what are the things that I know? What are the things that I can speak to meaningfully? So I want to share some, favorite lists from the year and get your input. And maybe you've got some favorites in those categories, or maybe it'll make you think of some other things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the first list I'm going to give you is, my, favorite small appliances of 2020.
Okay. All right.
All right. It's not a top 10 list because I only have 7 of them. So anything after 7 was just like, fine. I don't care. I'm not sure I have more than 7 small appliances, but my favorite small appliances, number 7, was the Qi lamp. I got this on Kickstarter this year. It's a little lamp that has a rechargeable battery in it, and you sit it on like a little Qi base, which is the thing that, like, the for wireless charging for your cell phone.
Okay.
Okay, and that charges it. And then you can turn on the lamp, and you've got a couple of different set. You can change. It's an LED, so you can change the color, and it'll even do like a rotating through the colors and things like that. It's not really bright enough to light a room, which if it was, I'd probably move it higher on my list. It'd be fun to take camping. And it's also nice for just some, you know, gentle mood lighting in the evening or something like that. So, yeah, number 7 is a Qi lamp. I like that. All right. Number 6 is my Shark vacuum, because it's really easy to take like the whole thing apart, and we're constantly getting something stuck in there that requires me to take the whole thing apart. Number 5 is a sous vide cooker. Those are all the rage this year.
They are.
And I actually kind of like it. I don't love it. That's why it's only number 5. I like it more than vacuuming. But I don't adore it yet. But I've been trying it out. And it is a nice way to get things pretty precise on temperature and to get meat really tender. I've enjoyed that so far. So that's good. Then I got a couple of old favorites on my list. I got number 4 is my Hario electric kettle. It's a gooseneck kettle, so it's easy to use for doing pour over coffee. It's just simple. It's beautiful. It's great. The Hario electric kettle. Number 3, last year we got a Bonavita coffee maker, and this shot up to number 3 because, this is I've only made things like pour over coffee for a number of years because I really like that taste. I really like I just feel like you get a good cup of coffee. This Bonavita coffee maker, I feel like I get as good a cup of coffee as if I'm making it with like a French press or a pour over or something like that. And it's simple. So, coffee maker made it to number 3 on my list, which takes me to number 2 on my list, my coffee grinder. Which makes sense because the coffee grinder gets above the coffee maker because my coffee grinder has 40 different settings. So I can grind for like any kind, like I can grind it to put it in my Bonavita coffee maker that I just mentioned. I can grind for my Chemex. I can grind for French. I can grind for anything, man. So, and I've had that Baratza Encore coffee grinder for 6 years, still going strong. It's a horse. It's shocking that it's number 2 on my list because I think most years the Baratza is the number 1 small appliance on my list. You want to know what number 1 is?
I can hardly. You know, you've been so excited about these other ones, which I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be able to match your energy.
Number 1, air fryer.
Okay.
I'm very happy with an air fryer because it turns out this is just convection cooking. That's all this is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But convection cooking is really nice because it really does. You can take things like chicken, brush a little bit of olive oil on there. You get nice crispy skin, locks in juicy flavor. Really, really good. Nice for things like that. Nice for things like making stuffed peppers. Nice for, crunchy cauliflower tater tots.
Mm.
Oh yeah, man.
Okay. Do you make your cauliflower tater tots from?
I haven't tried that yet, but that's going to be on the list for 2021.
Gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, I've found that it's really, really easy to use, and it's you know, I don't care about any of the, you know, gimmicky stuff. Convection cooking is a nice way to cook. So an air fryer is a simple way to do that. And so the air fryer made number 1 on Brandon's favorite appliances of 2020 for small appliances. Sorry, got to be clear because I don't want to I don't want the dryer to think I'm shirking it. All right. Thoughts?
Well, I don't have most of those. I do have your number one, the air fryer.
Yeah.
And I will say this. I have not yet gotten really on board with the air fryer.
Okay.
I don't think I have an issue with the food that comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the way ours works, it has these grills, these grates that you cook the stuff on. And there's always, so there's stuff that kind of drips down onto those. And they are so difficult to clean.
Okay.
One of my jobs is doing the dishes. So I don't like it. Okay. I don't like that part of it. And that's ours, totally fair. Ours, it just still flashes. If it's not actually showing your temperature, your time, or whatever your settings, it just flashes.
Interesting.
Yes, ours is I'm not going to say because I don't want to, cast any aspersions upon anyone. But
fair enough. It might be, and it might be a company that is a future sponsor of the podcast. So you got to be careful there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that makes sense. I can understand that. And I will say that that actually makes me realize one of the things I like about ours is simplicity. It's this is like you put the food in a basket and the basket sits inside of another basket, essentially. And both baskets are nonstick surfaces. So what happens is like actually my favorite thing to make in this so far, beyond all the things I mentioned, is salmon. I will take salmon, slice it up into nice individual portions, brush a little olive oil, put a little seasoning on there, and it just gets really, really crisp. It's really tender. But then cleaning it up is just like you separate the two baskets. And the lower basket that has caught any oils or any fat or anything like that really just like wipes out. It's like that simple. So honestly, like cleanup is a minute or two. It's really, really simple. So I can see what you're saying. I would say that if the cleanup was a gigantic pain, air fryer would not be number one on my list. It is number one on my list because I'm enjoying the food I'm getting out of it. And it is dead simple to clean and maintain.
Yeah. The food, I think if I didn't mention this, the food is I've not had an issue with. So I, what's the other small appliances that I might that would maybe make my list?
Yeah.
The electric shaver, the hair.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Sure. I had to get a new one this year, so that's even a 2020 appliance acquisition.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fresh.
Yeah, I also got a like a beard or mustache trimmer.
Yeah.
Small appliance that can also trim nose and ear hair.
I got one of those this year.
Very nice. I had one long time ago, and I didn't have as much nose or ear hair then.
No. So
I was like, eh. And now it's like, what are the...
Back then, you were like, who needs this? And now...
I do.
Now you're like, I very future much need this.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, that would... I'd say my multi-use trimmer is a honorable mention.
Right, so like every 7 weeks when I shave, it comes in very handy.
I will tell you though, like a little edge, like trimmer kind of thing, down a little bit on my list this week, because Zachary said the other day he wanted to shave his face, so he goes in to shave his face, and I go to check, because he got a head start on me, and he had actually decided to shave a stripe up the side of his head.
Ooh,
not joking. Like, did it look good? No.
So no. Does he now have no hair?
So he now has no hair. Yeah. I'm going to take it all down to baseline. So, yeah, Yeah, the trimmer's a little down on my list, but I can see why. You know, it's other than that, it's a good product. It's a good call.
Yeah, I mean, we've got like a Instant Pot, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you what the Instant Pot is great for.
Yeah.
Baked potatoes.
Oh, I've never tried that.
It's much quicker than in the oven.
Yeah.
And the flesh, is that what you would call that?
Flesh, yes.
Of the potato. The potato meat is often pretty fluffy, tender.
Yeah, I think the skin is what you would call the flat.
Skin is right, skin.
The skin is a skin. So what is the flesh? The meat is, yeah, okay. So anyway, it's a good potato.
Yeah.
I got to try that. I've never tried that before.
Yes, and we've mostly given up on, you know, spuds on the baking potatoes.
Yeah.
We use Yukon Gold or something similar to that almost all the time.
Sure.
So nice. we're pretty highbrow in that regard.
Way to go.
Let's see what other small appliances we have.
Anything else that's got to stand out to you? It's got to be like.
Hold on. No, this is wonderful. We bought a small air purifier. The Levoit air purifier, the filter is easy to change.
Yeah,
it's got some settings, like three different settings. It's got even like a night light or some ambient light. And if you really haven't slept in a couple days, mm-hmm. you can have a conversation with it.
It's good to know.
There are actually many things that you can have a conversation with if you
have
not
companion then.
In a while. Okay. Or if you've kind of spiraled to the bottom of Lake Depression
uh-huh.
and you're just spending all your time alone or in bed, you can talk to lots of things.
Uh-huh.
Small appliances, animals.
I apologize that I didn't come in advance asking you to make a list of favorite inanimate things to talk to when you're sleep deprived or depressed.
So favorite inanimate things to talk to. Well, also we also have a space heater.
Yeah.
But it's the type that's like a sealed oil. What is the...
Yeah, I know that. And then it's sort of like radiant heat.
Right.
But it's a sealed oil right.
We used to have a fan one and that was ridiculous. This is much nicer.
You know, with that kind of radiant thing, if you have honey that's crystallized, you can put the jar of honey on top of that, and it will soften that honey.
Yeah, that's. I guess that would be another. There's a lot of ways to take care of that, right?
Yeah.
So that's
another one. But a lot of them are not very effective. Like that kind of just like steady radiant heat for a long time does it really well. Crystallized honey is a real bugaboo for me.
I just sleep on it overnight.
The honey.
Yeah, and it's plenty.
It's nice. Plenty I think honey. I know why you're not sleeping well.
Another small appliance in the home that's not mine, but it's come in handy this year. Are you familiar with the Cricut, like a crafting machine?
Oh, yeah, right.
Cut things out, right. Molly got one of those.
Oh, nice.
And that's what I used to cut out all of the letters for our
ransom note.
Sons of the Double Cheeseburger road sign.
Oh, that, yes. Wait a minute, you shouldn't have said that. I don't know that people realize that you made those road signs. Now they know. I think they may have thought they were actually made by the Highway Authority.
That's, I was hired.
It's like you just revealed that Santa Claus isn't real.
I am a vendor of the Highway Authority.
So you can't walk it back now. It's okay, buddy. Just tear the Band-Aid off. But so this is what we're saying. That was professional looking. That was high quality.
Yeah.
That's an excellent small appliance.
Those are my favorite small appliances. My favorite inanimate objects to talk to.
Yeah.
In no particular order. Mm-hmm. Levoit, the air purifier.
Yeah, do you call it Levoit?
Well, that's its name.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
That makes sense. Hey, Levoit,
how you right doing? Right on the side. You know, the thing is, it's really whatever's in front of me when I reach a low point.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes if I'm upset, here's an interesting thing. I don't typically talk to things when I'm angry at them.
Sure.
At like their lack of functioning properly. Uh-huh. And that's often where most people will engage with their inanimate objects, right?
It's true. Yeah.
Like, damn you, car. Why won't you? Mm-hmm. No, when it's not working, to me, it's lost its ability to, you know, anthropomorphize. And so it is then just a dumb inanimate object.
That's an interesting theory. I got to sit with that for a while.
So other inanimate objects I talk to, my son.
I'm going
to
ask my air fryer what he thinks about that. Your son is not an inanimate object. He is animate.
Oh, less than you think.
He may not be animated. Oh, man. All right.
So that list is not so great. What else you got?
I got another list. I was thinking about what are my favorite beverages of 2020? Favorite beverages of 2020. I know you drink beverages.
I totally have a mouth and throat. Mm-hmm. I consume beverages daily.
That's good, because if you didn't, that and the lack of sleep would be a bad 1-2 punch.
You've been drinking with quite a bit of verve and energy here
during
on
the podcast, you mean?
Yeah, I can hear you. You kind of get that.
My apologies. Well,
mm-mm. No, it adds that kind of human touch.
Okay.
So well, people know that we're not, so people don't get confused that we're just professionals.
No,
not they know that we're really speaking from the heart.
That's right. Well, I will tell you what I'm drinking is, I think, is number three or four on my list.
All right.
So here we go. Here we go right into it. Yeah. My list, my top 10 favorite beverages, number 6 is Coke Zero. Everything after 6 is like, whatever. I don't care. I didn't drink you enough this year to rate you. Number 6 is Coke Zero, because sometimes I need a little carbonation, and sometimes I need something that sort of simulates a caramel taste. So Coke Zero it is. Number 5, lemon and ginger tea. I like lemon and ginger tea. It's very soothing for me. And if I get a sore throat, which I have not had, don't worry. Right. Then that and a little bit of honey really knocks it out. So at the first sign of me not feeling great, feeling stuffy, anything like that, I'm going with the lemon and ginger tea. All right. That was number 5. Number 4 is, did you know, I didn't know it until this year that, I'm not diabetic, but I don't do well with sugar. So I've really tried to cut sugar out of my diet.
That's smart though. Okay. It's an inflammatory, mm-hmm. right? Consumable.
Yeah. And I'm inflamed enough. I did not know until this year, I'm not touching that. Did not know until this year that Canada Dry makes Canada Dry zero sugar ginger ale.
Really?
I like me a ginger ale.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a Canada Dry zero sugar ginger ale is great ginger flavor and none of that sugar that makes me feel all funky and bad.
Do you like ginger beer?
I do like ginger beer.
You like, which do you like more, ginger beer or ginger ale?
Well, I drink ginger ale more since I have access to Canada Dry Zero Sugar Ginger Ale.
True, true.
By the way, Kevin, just between you and me, no one else is listening right now. I'm trying to see if I can get Canada Dry as a sponsor. How do you think I'm doing?
I think you're doing well.
All right, cool. All right. So, yeah, I mean, ginger beer can have a nice bite to it, right? Mm-hmm. But if I don't, you know, again, I can only do that in moderation because of the sugar.
Right.
Or like a spicy ginger ale. Sometimes Verner's can be a spicy kind of ginger ale. But for my everyday drinker in 2020, it's been Canada Dry Zero Sugar Ginger Ale. That's right.
Nice. Very nice.
Actually. Yeah, and hopefully they'll be a sponsor soon. Or maybe just sending a case to my house. And then next on my list, after the four. So number three on my list is a Boulevardier. That's what I'm drinking right now. A Boulevardier is a cocktail made of rye whiskey, sweet vermouth, and Campari.
So that was rye whiskey, sweet vermouth, and Campari.
Yes. I think the best way to make it is, and you can, I don't want to give you ounces because you might want to make a small amount, or you might want to make like a, you know, like a big gulp size. I'm less interested in the specific amounts than the ratios. And so I want one part sweet vermouth, one part Campari, and 1.5 parts rye.
Okay.
Put it over a couple of big ice cubes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of bitterness in there. You know, I like a little bit of bitterness. A little bit of sweetness, too. It's great. It's got a beautiful ruby red color to it.
Oh. Yeah. That's for Campari, right? Sure, sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's the Boulevardier. That is my drink of 2020, but it's only number three on my list. Number two on my list. Now, see, you're probably thinking to yourself now, you're like, what drinks are left?
Well, water.
What are the beverages are left? And it's just like if you were listening to like the top classic rock songs on a countdown, you'd get down to like number five and you're like, okay, I know all the ones that are left. I just don't know the order they're in. I don't know which one is Stairway to Heaven. I don't know which one is Hey Jude, but I know they're up there. Right. That's what you got. Number two, coffee. I like it black. I like it hot. I like it especially if it's from Ethiopia and Latin American coffees. Mexican coffees, often some of my favorites. So coffee, number two on my list. But as much as I love coffee, and I drink it almost every day, it could not unseat the king.
Water.
Ice water. Ice water, baby. It's cold. It's refreshing.
You're selling all these. Now, you don't have to sell ice water to me because ice water, I'm going to agree with you, it's the A number one drink. Now, my daughter, for instance, cannot stand cold water. She likes, like, you get, like, you leave water in the car in the summer.
Yeah.
And you come in, like, a couple days later, and you pick it up and you drink that. People like me, I drink that and I say, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
It's burned me. And it tastes horrible. She's like, she loves it. She like cradles it like it's like a mug of coffee or something. And she loves warm water.
Okay.
She can also tell you her favorite waters based upon like what sink they come from.
Well, we should have had her on this episode to give us her favorite sinks of 2020. I don't mind saying, and I love your daughter, but I'm going to have to think about whether I think this is a character defect.
Might be. Everybody has them. Everyone has character defects.
Everyone has character defects. This is not so bad as they go.
Like, I've handed her some filtered water.
Yeah.
And she'll drink it and be like, no, take that back.
Oh, no. Is that filtered? Oh.
And she's like, I need a good cup of warm sink water from the upstairs bathroom.
What? Oh, man. Was your daughter born in Flint? What?
I remind her that there is, in fact, an acceptable percentage or parts of goose feces in municipal drinking water.
Yeah.
Now, I'll drink municipal. I'll drink our tap water. That's fine. Sure. I get it. You know what? We all get trace amounts of goose feces.
You got to get it somehow.
Right. It's going to happen. But lean into it. But I thought for sure that would turn her off to sink water. But she was like, maybe that's what makes it so good.
Wow.
And I'm like, let's not test then which, like, how many parts per million of goose feces makes better water. Like, I don't want to come home and see you, like, with a you know, Canada goose turd just swirling in the water and then taking sips, you know?
No. No, I don't want a Canada goose turd. You know what I want? I want Canada dry. Zero. I'm sorry, I already mentioned that. I apologize. I may have already
zero
brought
sugar.
That up. Zero sugar. None of the sugar, none of the calories, most of the great ginger flavor.
With that great slogan, and you putting it number four on your list, you are certain to be getting mega sponsorship deals.
I'm assuming it's going to be on the doorstep tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. All so, right. Beverages that I enjoy.
In 2020.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's not historically. This is because then, like, RC would be at the top of my list.
Well, RC is still on my list. I will have RC. That's my cola of record.
It's a good call. The cola of record. I like that.
I love.
It's the mango. King of colas, you know.
I love nectars. Mango nectar, guava nectar, passion fruit nectar.
Yeah.
You know, there's...
Do you like pear nectar?
I do. There's strawberry nectar. I don't... Which... It's... There's
Is it Jumex? Is that who makes all those?
They make tremendous nectars. Guava nectar is probably my favorite. I love just about anything guava. So
can you tell us what makes it a nectar and not a juice?
Sure. A nectar is often it's thicker.
Okay.
So it's got it's a little more viscous or less viscous. Oh, how does viscosity work?
Less viscous means thicker. It doesn't flow as easily.
Less viscous. Right. Right. A lower viscosity.
You want low viscosity in your motor oil?
Castrol and guava nectar.
You don't want low viscosity in your windows.
And it's like a flavor punch to your mouth.
Wow. Yeah. I do like to get punched in the mouth sometimes.
In a good way. If there's a good way to get punched in the mouth. By flavor.
Now you got that slogan. I would say the Jumex people are lining up a truck at your door right now. Get punched in the mouth with flavor.
We would welcome that. There'd be weeping here because the nectars are much loved. Great. In this house. Standard juices can, they just really, I don't know. They disappoint.
Yeah, I'm not buying what Big Juice is selling.
I've always, and this year as well, I didn't actually get as much this year, but I love a good cider.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I really didn't get any cider this year.
Pear cider I've had as well. Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what, this is really has been moving up the list in the last week. I made a decision regarding beverages
okay.
that I am going to be drinking a lot more heavily from now on. Drinking alcohol a lot more heavily from now on.
Okay.
To be fair, I prior to this last week, I may have had like 2 alcoholic beverages this year.
Okay.
So a lot more is not necessarily, it may look dramatic
in
the trending line, but it's not necessarily, a troubling quantity.
Okay.
But I've been having like an alcoholic beverage every other day.
Mm-hmm.
So like right now I'm having a Frankfurter, apple wine.
Nice.
The special drink of Frankfurt, Germany. It's very tasty. I had a guava beer.
Interesting.
Yeah, it wasn't enough guava for me. In that regard, it was. I decided, they might as well have just been a regular beer.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It was kind of like drinking like an alcoholic, like a beer version of LaCroix.
Okay. Which sounds like this whole alcoholic seltzer craze, which I have no interest in.
Terrible. It's like LaCroix. I think somebody described it. It's kind of similar to the idea that LaCroix is like if you have a flavor and you put it 2 rooms down, lock it in a room two rooms down the hall, and just write the name on a piece of paper, and then someone just whispers it. That's what the flavor is like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just there. It's just like,
just enough to make it like, not enough to overcome the carbonated, the mineral water flavor.
Right.
So you've just made it taste bad. You've given it negative associations.
And again, if you screwed up water, which is the classic number one.
It's the primo. Yeah.
What are you doing?
That's what? The one thing. I don't understand how many other cultures love the carbonated water.
Yeah.
I've now learned to be wary of that when traveling. But when Eileen and I went to Rapa Nui, Easter Island, neither of us are fluent in Spanish.
Right.
And it's very warm there. It's equatorial and it's a hot island.
Yeah.
And there's no real trees left, So there's So anyway, we went in at the start of our day. We were going to be out hiking and exploring, and we went in and bought a number of bottles of bottled water.
Yeah.
We didn't check if it was gaseosa or sin gaseosa. Sin gaseosa.
Oh, I already see where that's going. Water.
Yeah. So we got some that were regular water. And then I opened up one. I was dying of thirst. I was like, oh my God.
You opened up a gaseosa. And
I glugged and I was like, oh my God. And I vomited. So, yeah. That's because I
that's
drank.
Not great.
You sometimes super thirsty, you get like a half liter down real quick or something. And also it's like, well,
Yeah.
So now I always seen gas.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good call.
Yeah. Yeah. So other alcoholic drinks I've had a huckleberry apple cider.
Sounds good.
I love huckleberry.
Yeah.
Which is not, it's not easy to come by huckleberry flavored items.
No.
Or huckleberries. So what else have I got? I got some lambics.
Oh, I like lambics. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I've had cranberry lambics, cherry lambics. Those are good.
So that's me. That's my, I'm drinking more.
Okay.
A lot of
people chose to drink more in 2020. And you saved it for 2021. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's good. It's one of the things I like about you, you don't just jump on a fad.
No.
it. So
that I don't, my friend. And I bought a Japanese whiskey.
Oh, I keep meaning to do that. And then I just buy more rye.
I haven't tried it yet, but yeah. So I have that. Oh, and we went to this Christmas market. We got some blue wine, which is the hot, mulled wine. But they had at the same booth doing shots. And there's those that kind of Neapolitan candy. It's like the vanilla wafer with like chocolate filling. Mm-hmm. Vanilla wafer, chocolate filling. It's kind of layered, six or seven times. Delicious, right?
Right.
They had an alcoholic drink, a liqueur of that.
Oh, that's interesting. So yeah. what were the layers?
Well, no, it's not. It is in layers. Drink it. And it's like you just drank an alcoholic Neapolitan wafer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
That seems like it'd be easy to do a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's got enough, it's alcoholic. Mm-hmm. It's not like some of those drinks that you can't tell it's alcohol.
Sure.
Which, that's... Yeah, but it was... It was warming. It was a particularly cold night, so it was nice. So we bought a small bottle of that.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to try and find the specific brand that matches the physical product, the actual wafer, mm-hmm. and do a taste test. Wafer, booze, wafer, liqueur, See which is... See how close they actually got.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let me know how that goes.
Yeah. I will.
All right. Report back.
All right. So what else you got?
All right. I got one more list. And again, I was thinking about 2020. This is what really brought me to things like small appliances. I'm home a lot more. Favorite beverages, because I'm not doing a whole lot. All I had left with was one of my favorite rooms of my house.
Ooh.
In 2020. Favorite rooms of the house.
Well, I know what number one, it's either one or two.
So again, our house, we've got three bathrooms, bedrooms, home office, the garage has been made into kind of a den.
You got a lot of rooms, son.
We do have a lot of rooms. We have a nice situation. We have a large house for California. So, I mean, unless you are like a movie producer, in which case you'd have a larger house probably, and like three. But
maybe it depends on how many films you're making. We talked about that earlier.
Could be.
So anyway,
favorite rooms of the house. There are only four that made the cut. I've been in all the rooms a lot this year. All the rooms a lot. Because I can't get out of my house for the most part. Okay? There are only four that my feelings are positive enough about that I'm ranking them.
That's sad.
Okay?
Okay.
And even then, it's not going to start great. Number four is the living room.
Oh.
I like my living room. It's got my TV there. Got my PlayStation there, but I've spent a lot of time with my PlayStation and my TV. A lot of time just sitting on the couch reading. I need a break from the living room.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's only number four. Number three on my list, this may be a surprise to you, you thought this was going to be higher, is the bedroom.
No, I didn't think it would be higher.
Okay. The bedroom is number three, because...
I noticed you didn't call it the boudoir, so
I did not call it the boudoir. I am a man.
Three at the highest.
I've been married 21 years. It's just the bedroom. And even at that, I'm getting more sleep. I'm getting more sleep. Again, it's then you wake up and you're like, I'm still in the house. Okay.
Yeah.
Number two is going to surprise you. This will be, I'm sure, a surprise. Number two is the Home Office.
What?
The Home Office is number two, and I'll tell you why. You know where I'm sitting right now recording this lovely conversation with you?
Home Office?
Home Office.
Oh.
You know where I have my guitars so I can do some really low-quality jamming?
Home Office.
Home Office. When Zach and I do his daily school routine and we get to do art projects and exercise group and work on things together, we're really having some memory time there. Where are we doing that? Home Office. It's also where I have all my baseball hats. It's where I have all my books. Yeah. Home Office.
Well, that sounds like a room that would be very popular. Okay.
Yeah. So I managed to make the Home Office like a nice, some people might even say it's more like a den. To those people, I would say, make your own list. So,
is it a sanctuary?
It is a sanctuary of sorts. Number one on the list. You going to guess number one on the list? Or am I going to just tell you?
You're going to tell me, because I've already, one of what I thought would be with the top two is gone. So, or isn't going to make it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Number one is the kitchen. Number one is the kitchen because
we had so many small appliances that are in the kitchen too.
I have a lot of small. I have a lot of toys to play with in the kitchen.
Oh, I mean, it's clear. That's not. Shouldn't be.
I like to make things. I like to be creative. I like to do stuff for my family. I really enjoy, like tonight. Tonight I made like a roasted sesame marinade on some chicken thighs, and then I did those in the air fryer. So I got a nice crispy skin going there. And when my family tastes something and they're like, oh, that's good. Or, as happened tonight, when Zachary liked it so much that he wants to come and steal mine. He's like, I want more of that chicken.
That's satisfying. I'm
like, this is all of it that I made. And he's like, but I want more chicken. I give him some of mine. That's satisfying for me.
Oh, yeah.
So the kitchen is my zone of creative power right now. And again, Home Office is second in that creative power because I do have those mediocre jamming skills on the guitar.
So have you had a lot of constipation this year or whatnot? Or just
I've not. No. No, I'm
are you just a filthy backed up individual?
No.
That a bathroom didn't make your list?
The bathroom, but that's the point. It's not on the top of my list because I'm in my own bath. You know what? Here's the thing. Here's what I come to realize. I'm at home. I'm in my own danged bathrooms. And I'm in the bathroom, and you know what I'm thinking about? Somebody needs to clean this bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when I'm at work, I'm not thinking about somebody's got to clean this bathroom.
You're just...
Because I know that somebody's not me.
So you can just let her rip. You can just enjoy the experience.
I'm just sitting in the bathroom and I'm like, oh, I need to mop in here. I'm out of toilet paper again. I gotta go buy more toilet paper tomorrow. Oh, that mirror needs to be cleaned. See, the bathroom is not a sanctuary anymore.
I see what you're saying.
It's just a place to relieve myself. Which, from what I've heard, like women say, by women I mean mostly my wife, that's how it's supposed to be.
Huh.
I don't know. I mean, that feels disappointing.
I can hang out in the bathroom for a while.
I mean, I can.
Like, if I take a book into the bathroom, mm-hmm. I'm there. For a while. I mean, I'm done with the work I did, but I'm still reading. Then I don't want to stop reading to get up. You know what I mean?
No, you don't. Right.
I mean, I've read long enough that I get up and then I realize, I gotta
go again.
No, I gotta, I have to look in the toilet and see, did I poop or not? Because I need to wipe.
So
I forgot if I did.
I've done that. So
I'm really admitting some terrible thing right now. I'm going to be sponsored by like AstraZeneca or something. They're going to be sending me all kinds of drugs. Talks to inanimate, talks to inanimate objects, forgets if he pooped.
Decided to take up more drinking in 2021. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be backing the truck up to your house. You're going to be sucking down antidepressants with your nectars.
Oh, yeah. Wait, they could mix it into the nectars.
Mm-hmm. They could. Don't mix them with the alcohol, though. That is not recommended.
I know. I know. And that's why I stopped drinking. But
yep.
I decided. It's not like I'm... You know, let's try something different.
All right. So here's what I'm going to say about what you just brought up about the bathroom. I realize as we're hashing this out, I realize there's another factor at play here. So I live in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very temperate. And I mean, like, so temperate that that only a couple of days a year does it get hot enough that you would even think about turning on an air conditioner.
Dang.
So our house doesn't have air conditioning. Most of the houses along the coast don't have air conditioning. Okay. When I think back to my favorite memories of just hanging out in the bathroom.
Sure.
It's on a hot day. You go into the bathroom, and because the bathroom is a small room, but it's got a vent in there, you got the AC going. That bathroom gets nice and cool.
Oh, yeah.
You got the cool tile floor, right? You know where I'm going? Oh, cool tile. We're not going to lay on the floor. No, that because we didn't clean it yet.
No.
But it's cool on your feet. The air is cool in the bathroom. You can hang out in there for a while like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have that anymore because I don't have AC. Now, the plus side is I don't need AC. But
yeah, so really this sounds more like a humble brag or something, or like a...
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm saying even something like living in a nice temperate zone, there is something you lose. The thing you lose is there's this little special magic of hiding out in a tiny room with a vent on a hot day. That's one of the joys of life. And since I don't have that anymore, bathroom has fallen off my list.
You're also not in punching range of Tom Ricketts. I'm sorry.
I'm not, but now that you think about it, I'd like to punch Tom Ricketts.
I introduced negativity here. We've been nothing but positive so far.
It's been super positive vibes here.
So my favorite room in the house.
Drinking, depression, sleep deprivation. Yeah.
It's everyday stuff, man. That's the cocktail. I like my foyer.
Oh. You have a nice foyer. You can go up, you can go down.
Yeah, I do. So, you know, my house is kind of stacked, like three stories. The first story is the garage. Right.
Yep.
So it's kind of a transition spot, you know. I could be going out of the garage. I could be going up to the living room. Or I could be doing neither and hiding in the foyer.
I like that image.
I'm sick of my bedroom.
Yeah.
I'm sick of my living room. I'm sick of my bathroom. I'm sick of my kitchen. I'm out of rooms. My garage is not doing me any favors. My crawl space.
Yeah.
That I haven't tried the crawl space this year, so so
crawl spaces are not notoriously a good place to hang out.
No, they're not.
Well, maybe spend some time in the kitchen, do some discovery, do some creating there. Talk to the appliances.
Yeah, we got a new blender.
Did you?
Yeah, like, and it has like, you know, it has like an easier smoothie making function.
Nice.
So I love smoothies. But,
that's cool.
You know why I like smoothies so much? Fruity.
Because you don't have any teeth anymore?
I, in fact, do still have teeth.
Way to go.
still have some.
Some. So why do you like smoothies? Fruity, you said?
Fruity. Yeah. Cool. Fruity.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. I feel like we could probably end this.
Probably. I think we've covered these are the kinds of things that have mattered for 2020. These are our favorites. It's what we love. You know what? Maybe you're listening and you're like, I want to tell Brandon and Kevin what my list of favorite things was. Maybe your favorite thing is favorite magazines you've read this year. Maybe your favorite thing is, I don't know.
I'm not in magazines anymore.
I don't know.
Favorite new podcast featuring two brothers.
Yeah, maybe. Your favorite brother-centric podcasts. That's... it's a pretty important category. I think we'd come in the top 100 or so.
Favorite podcast mailing headquarters.
Yeah. So if you want to share that with us, you can you can share that on our page on Facebook at Sons of the Double Cheeseburger. Or you could send us a message on our Instagram, which is also Sons of the Double Cheeseburger, coincidentally. Or you can just send it to Ogunquit, Maine. We haven't moved the P.O. box because nothing should be moving right now other than Donald Trump. He should be moving.
You can also contact us on Parler at Glenn Beck.
Yes! It's amazing that we were able to get Glenn Beck's name for that. I would have thought he'd already used it, but I'm surprised. I thought you were going to go with, when we talked about you were going to set up the Parler account, I thought you were going to go with Cuck Life. He decided not to do that because Glenn Beck was available. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Libtard Cuck Snowflake was not available.
That's weird.
It would have been Libtard Cuck Snowflake 794. And I was like, no. I have no attachment to that number.
Yeah, it's a good choice. I'm glad you made that move. So yeah, let us know. And otherwise, have a happy new year. By the time you listen to this, it will be the new year. I know that because I'm not getting this edited tomorrow.
You have a big celebration in the home?
A huge celebration, yeah. I'm going to go to...
your favorite appliances?
I'm going to talk to my favorite appliances. I'm going to... drink all my favorite drinks.
Wow.
I'm going to try to get all six in one day. I'm going to go to my favorite rooms and let them know that they've been so honored. And I'm going to go to my other rooms and tell them to get their act together. Come on, dining room. Step it up.
Dining room is got no purpose.
You got completely forgotten, dining room.
We've been looking at houses, and we see a house with like a dining room, and I'm like, what are we gonna, what would we do with a 20 by 15 dining room? What the freak is that all about?
Then make that into a home office. That's what you would do with that.
Literally, I would invite people over where we would need that. No times a year? I don't know.
What I was going to say, in an average year, I would use a room like that zero times.
Maybe some holidays. Now, if I had the room, I guess I would feel like I'd want to use it. So maybe I would be everyone over for holidays. But
which is a good reason to not have the room.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the antisocial part of me coming up. So, yeah, I might. In fact, I might go to my foyer now that I think about it. I might go to my foyer and be like, you know what? Kevin's foyer made the top of his list. What are you doing?
Well, one of the things I like about foyers, you mentioned kind of how the bathroom can have that cooling effect.
Yeah.
Like when it's cold out, you get that heat going in the house, mm-hmm. the house will start to get kind of a little bit too hot almost feeling,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
But my house, I walk down into my foyer and, you know, the seals are crappy enough that I get a little bit of a draft. It cools me off a little bit.
Interesting point. Yeah.
The floor is cooler. I can cool off beverages there. I don't know. Maybe not quite.
Nice. Is the tile porcelain?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's,
cause you can put your head on the porcelain.
It's oh.
The porcelain's cool.
Oh gosh.
Unless Grant Phillip is listening to the podcast tonight, today he won't. No one else is going to get that joke.
Crap Crafts. Wasn't he? That was also Grant Phillip, right?
Yeah, it was.
And he had a dog named Little Shits.
Oh,
yeah. What happened to him?
I don't know. Maybe he'll reach out and tell us. All right. So, everybody, it's this has been a fun year. Kevin, it's been fun to talk to you. That's never going to happen again. This is the last time I hadn't told you yet, but we're done.
Oh.
No, we're not.
You notice that neither of us did a list of our favorite brothers.
We didn't. How about this? Quick ranking. Boom. Flash list. Ready? Flash list. Yeah. Ranking of your favorite of Mom's imaginary friends.
We
is number one.
Yeah.
I was going to put Jeff for number one this year. So I guess we have a stalemate.
I do like Jeffer because it makes me think of Robinson Jeffers, the poet.
Yeah.
But
makes me think of Mark Jeffers. From the Moody Bible Institute.
I wouldn't recommend that to you.
I like we because it makes me think about how I didn't rank any of my bathrooms. All right. So everybody, it's been a fun year doing this. Any of you who actually listen, if we're still listening now, wow, you are to be commended for your stamina. And thanks. It's fun to talk, and it's fun to know that some of you are enjoying this. And Kevin, I look forward to doing more of this with you in 2021.
Likewise. Thank you for everything you've been doing. Your service.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, I should mention our podcast is produced by Brandon Woosley. It's recorded and edited by BD Woosley. And sponsored by Canada Dry Zero Sugar Ginger Ale. Media and promotion is Kevin Woosley. And charcuterie, also Kevin Woosley.
Is that a fat joke?
No, it's not. But now that you mention it, I feel like I've missed an opportunity. All right. Kevin?
Brandon?
Talk to you next year, buddy.
Oh, my God. Don't forget me.
But that's only in 2 days. It's okay.
Oh.
I gotcha.
Oh, man. Yeah. I fell for that one. All right. Well, love you.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
That's you, not the listener. I'm not sure I know even the listener, but bye-bye.